Yes, thank you, brother. I know you told me your name when we were at your place, but I'm good at forgetting things. You know, very good at that. We bring you greetings in the Lord's, in our precious name. Now, this is our second time here, as our brother have already said. And what comes to my memory was Brother Gary. No, he was the one that made the announcement or was in charge that morning. But I understood that he is not here. He is with the Lord. But we have this blessed hope in ourselves that we will see him in someday. So that's the beauty of the Christian life, you know, the lively hope that we have. My mind went on the verse this morning in the Psalms where David had said, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Whether it's in Belize or here in the U.S., you know, we can all come before the presence of the Lord. You know, isn't that wonderful that God is everywhere? God is the God of the universe. You know, he is the God in control. And as our brother have said, we don't understand why the storms in life comes or the tornado. But we need to remember that God is in control. Nothing gets out of control in his mighty works. And I'm blessed to be here this morning, and I could say that our trip here was very successful and blessing, rather. I have learned to meet new people and people that are serving the Lord. You know, I admire the zeal here. I see the many young people, and I want to tell you, young people, you are the future church, as we would say in Belize. You are the future leaders, and we need to keep faithful to the Lord, serving him every day. I know it is not easy, as said. But one thing we discover, and I know that you have already, that, with God, all things are possible, even when the storm comes, even when we are in the fire, even when we are discouraged. God is just so near to us. And, without him this morning, I believe that many of us would have already, gone our own way. But it's God that have kept us. And I just want us to praise his name and continue to, look to him and trust him. I want this morning to remind us of, of life. The enemy. I know that we all aware that we have an enemy of our soul, of our life. And he too is very busy today. He is very deceitful in our times. He comes as Peter have said, as a roaring lion, to us. But he also come as an angel of light. He come in those subtle way, to deceive us, to lie to us, to take our attention and our focus from off God. We have the same devil in Belize. He is at work. We can see him even in the churches of God today. It is so sad to see, when people that once was enlightened to the truth, you know, just turn your own way. So I just want to remind us of that enemy this morning, and want to tell you about a person who could be our worst enemy. And I know that many times we are not aware of him, but he is so near, and sometimes he takes control of our life. And he brings trouble in our life. So, in a short message this morning, I just want to enlighten you about him. Have a little story here first. It says a preacher once preached a sermon on someone that gives him the most trouble in the church. Now, I don't know who he is in your church, but I am assured that you have such a person. And let us please don't make our minds go too far. As the preacher continues his sermon, you know, he identifies the person who was the troublemaker in the church. The congregation was very surprised, because the person whom they have in mind, you know, was not him or her. And you know, we are good at that. I mean, that's how we think in Belize, and I know where people everywhere you go, we're the same people, made of the same substance. But the congregation mind have zeroed in on that troublemaker in the church. The preacher identify him, you know, and that person who was a troublemaker was self. You know, himself, our self. As I said already, that self is our most enemy. You know, he is our greatest hindrance, you know, to our Christian life. Now, I don't know if you have a problem with him, but my Bible tells us that there is, that our life is like a, you know, a war. There's a struggle in our lives of, you know, as children of God. You know, so many times we want to have our own way. You know, I have experienced that in my own life. You know, so many times we just want to be ourselves or just do things our way. You know, when the Spirit of God might be directing, you know, different. And as our Bible tells us that there is this struggle, you know, within every heart, you know, of believer. So I'm saying here that self we discover that he is where most of our problem comes from. We always have in mind that we like to, this is how we are, we like to blame other people for our faults. We like to blame other people for our failures. We like to blame people for discouragement that we might be going through. We like to do that. You know, I discover in my own self. But we are so wrong, as I'm trying to say, we are so wrong. Our problem is, most of our problem is within our own self. You know, when we point our finger at our brother and our sister, it always says that if I do that to you, that three or four, you know, pointed to ourselves. So even nature, how God created us, that we should not point fingers at people. And Jesus, you know, taught us about that. You know, he said in Matthew that we must first, you know, take the beam out of our eyes, you know, before we can take the speck out of the eyes of our brother. But as people in a whole, as I said, and as I see how we are in Belize, that we like to blame others. We are quick in judging others. We are quick in seeing other people's faults and failures in their life, and we cannot see ours. And it is, you know, it is self, you know, it is the self within us that blinded us, you know, many times that we cannot see. You know, selves and symptoms of self, that self will always, you know, see things his way. You know, self will always believe that he is always right. You know, he find it hard to humble himself. You know, self will always want to be on the front line of every aspect or every era in our life. You know, self is always about, you know, me. You know, we think so much about we, what we have achieve, what we have accomplished, you know, what we have done, you know, what we are doing. You know, we are that way, and that is contrary to the will of God. But he is deceitful. You know, he caused us to lift up ourselves in pride many times. Do you know that was the downfall of God's, we would say, closest angel? You know, as Lucifer, you know, the scripture would tell us that everything was what I will do, you know, what I, you know, I don't have that quotation this morning, but I know you know what I'm saying. That was his downfall. He was focusing too much on himself. And I tell you, we are living in the days, you know, we have, our life has been overcome by too much of focusing on ourselves. You know, Jesus said that, or the scripture tells us that we are to have the mind of Jesus. That he, as we know that he left the splendor of heaven. You know, he gave up all that he had. You know, he wasn't thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about what he was going to endure, you know, for our sins. But the Bible tells us that he humbled himself, and he, you know, he just become as man, humbling himself, you know, to the death on the cross. You know, it was nothing about himself. And the Bible tells us that's the mind that every child of God should have, you know, to let us start to think about others. Let us start to think of what we can do, you know, to encourage our brother and our sister. You know, let us think of how we can be a blessing to one another. I know how it is, and I believe it's the same way here in the U.S., but, you know, in Belize, we, you know, sometimes we, you know, we have opportunities to reach out to people, but, you know, we would say, you know, after a hard day or hard week of work, You know, we rather stay home in the comfort of our homes and just, you know, rest or relax. You know, when there are so many other needs, you know, just around us, you know, just at our neighbors. But again, we, you know, self always overcome us, it seems like. But, you know, even Jesus said, you know, self was the first person he warns us about. As we would read that in Matthew chapter 16, 24, that if any man will come after me, you know, let him deny himself. You know, self is very powerful, and as I said, as I believe, is very deceptive. He comes in deceitful ways. You know, and but to be a follower of Jesus, we have to give up our rights. We have to give up our will and take up our cross, as he teaches us, and follow him daily. You know, if we want to be his, you know, his disciples. And I also want to say that Paul also have that experience, as I'm telling you about. You know, Paul says in Romans chapter 7, if you should read that chapter, he said that, first of all, he cried out. He said, "O wretched man that I am, you know, who shall deliver me?" Then he continued to say that, "But I thank God, you know, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us the power, because he had found himself that when he wants to do right, that evil was present." Or he tells us that the things he should be doing, he was not, and the things that he should not do, those are the things he was doing. And I know that you have a problem with that. I know that we all have those situations in our life when we are doing the wrong things that we know we should not be doing. And the things that we should be doing, we are not doing. That is self at work. You know, that is self in its fullness. Paul also tells us that we must learn to, you know, to say no. We must, you know, crucify him, you know, with all his evil work. The old man, you know, this is another word of how we can call self. You know, the old man within us. Bible teaches us that we must learn to put him to death in our lives, because he will always want to be on the surface. You know, we need to crucify him. So I want to ask our question this morning, is the old man dead? Have we put him to death? Have we buried him? You know, Jesus gave us the power this morning that we can crucify him, that we can put him to death. You know, if we allow the Spirit of God to take control of our life, you know, totally. But I believe that so many times he is so alive in us. Now the old man is so strong in us sometimes. He is very dominating in our lives. And so as believers, we have to come to the realization. We have to start to focus on this enemy of our soul, you know, which is still, I believe, in many of our lives, is still alive and strong. But I want to say the good news this morning that, you know, we can have victory over ourselves. And I trust and I believe that many of us and the church here this morning are experiencing victory in your life. You know, I want to believe that, and I trust we are this morning. But to have victory over ourselves this morning, we have to come to the point in our life where we start to admit our wrong. We must come to the point of our life where we start to see our own mistakes and our own failures. Or as we say, we need to start to let go
and let God, you know, take over the reins of our life. We need to step down. We need to start to be humble, you know, to each other. I think that is probably some of the first step we need to take in our life to overcome this enemy of our soul. We need to start to give in. Many times we feel like we are man, you know, we strike our chest and we feel as, you know, we are man, but we are not. A man is someone that can humble himself and come to you and say, I am sorry, I apologize, I have wrong, I am the one to be blamed, you know, that's a man. It takes a man, you know, to do that today. So these are things in life that goes along with the Christian life, that goes along with the praising of our Lord. You know, these are the things that we must never forget to do, because we are only hurting ourselves and we are only hurting others, you know, if we cannot bend our knees and start to admit that I am to be blamed. You know, and I like the account in Luke. We are not turning to these verses. You know, just to, as I learned that our time here is short, but I like the story of the prodigal son, that I believe that he was a young man that was in his five senses. And he had lived a good life, I believe, at home with dad, never have need of anything, but it was self that have overcome him one day. You know, he wanted to have his own way. You know, he wanted to do his own thing in life. I don't need mom and dad to tell me what to do. I can take care of my life. You know, he just wanted to have his own way, like many of us today. You know, we just want to do our own things. We just want to have our own way. And as we follow his story, that self have led him to ruin. He have lost out, you know, he have lost everything he had, as you remember the story. You know, and that's why the Bible tells us in the Proverbs that it tells us that, you know, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, anytime pride starts to lift up in our life, or we feel better than people, we feel better than others, you know, we need to come to ourselves. And the turning point in this young man's life, I want to point out here that he came to himself. You know, one day he came to himself. Or in other words, what that is saying, that he he saw himself, you know, who he was. He saw the mistakes he had made in his life. He saw what a foolish man he was. And he did something about it. It's not only to see our faults, but it's also to do something about it, as this young man had done. You know, he said, as you know the story, he said that after he have acknowledged his mistakes, after he have acknowledged his wrong, you know, he said that I will go home, you know, I will go back. And I will apologize to my father. I will tell my father that I have sinned. You know, I am not worthy even to be called your son. You know, make me one of your hired servants. You know, this was the turning point in this young man's life. You know, I believe when he started to see himself as he were. And I want to say that this morning, to receive forgiveness from God, to have the blessing of God upon our life, that we first have to come to the point of our life where we can see our sins, where we can come to repentance. We must come to repentance before we can come to the Father, in so to speak. We must humble ourselves before God, you know, before God can reach down and bless our life. You know, these are steps that we must do, you know, to have God's blessing upon our life. You know, and I like the, there are many characters in the scripture that came to this point of their life where they admit their failures. And I like to think about David this morning. You know, he was a godly person. The Bible tells us that he was a man after God's own heart. You know, he have a desire, you know, to serve God. But as we know his story, like us this morning, he had fallen from the grace of God. He had fallen into sin. But David, as a man, you know, in Psalms 4, in, I think it's Psalms 51 or 50, you know, he said that, you know, that I have sinned. He acknowledged his sin. He says, I have sinned. He says that his sin was before him. And he, you know, he couldn't point his finger. He couldn't blame anyone for his downfall in his life. And he said, Lord, I have sinned. And I tell you, I'm saying this morning that it's a place in our life that we all need to come if we want God blessings, if we want God to be merciful upon us, if we want God to forgive us. We must come to the point of our life where we can humble ourselves before Him and ask God to be merciful upon us and forgive us our sins or our faults and failures. Because God is, you know, God sees our heart, you know, God knows our life, you know, He knows our shortcoming, and He is ready to, you know, to pardon us and to set us free. He's ready to lift us up and give us grace that we can live above the struggles of our life, or to live above, you know, the power of the selfish life. You know, we can talk so much about self today, you know, how he thinks and how he believes. But the problem is that he lives within us. And I believe as long as we are in this side of life, he will always be the hindrance to our Christian life. He will always get us in trouble. And it is so easy to find ourselves in trouble. Just one word I could say against a brother and a sister, and that can do such a great harm. So we need to guard against him. We need to, you know, just commit our lives, you know, daily to the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ and claim the victory that He gives, you know, us over, you know, over sin or over ourselves or over self. Let's say it that way. So, in closing, I just want to, you know, encourage us as, you know, as we live our life for Jesus Christ, as we try to, you know, to serve Him every day. I want us to, you know, to remember that the devil is also at work. And he comes as an angel of light, you know, to the Christians. You know, he doesn't come, Peter said he's like a roaring lion, but, you know, the devil, you know, has so many tactics today that he will not come to us, you know, as Christians and said, you know, go and have a fling. He will never tell us to go back in the old life. But he comes in, you know, in these forms like true self, true selfishness, and true pride. You know, and, you know, looking, feeling ourselves above other people. You know, these are the ways and many other ways how he comes to the child of God today. And as I say, as I see in our churches in Belize, that he's doing a good job, or he is really having victory, you know, over many people that are the children of God. So we need to, you know, we just need to pray for each other. You know, we need to, you know, lift up each other in prayer, because we believe that prayer, you know, does work. And we need to, you know, my whole point here this morning, that we need to pay more focus on our lives than to, you know, focus on, you know, on the weakness of others. Of course, we need to help them. We need to, as the scripture would teach us, you know, we need to minister to the needs of the weak brother and sister, but let us not forget ourselves that we are just like them. You know, at least we fall like them. So may God help us. You know, may God give us, you know, victory. You know, because victory is what in this life will, what will cause us, you know, to enter into the glorious life that awaits us. If we cannot have victory, we will never make the point. We will never reach the prize or the goal in our life. We need to stay, you know, close to the Lord, and he will, you know, fill us that we can live, you know, a victorious life, you know, for him every day. So may God bless you and keep you. Let us pray. Our God, this morning, as we bow in your presence, Lord, we just thank you, God, for this privilege and opportunity we have, that we can come before you, Lord, without hindrance. And God, we thank you that you have given us the power, you know, that we can live above sin and the power of sin today. Lord, we thank you for your daily grace in our life. But this morning, God, from the scripture before us, we are bombarded, God. We have a person, we have an enemy, Lord, which so many times, you know, overcome our lives, so many times cause us to lose the peace and the joy of serving thee daily. Oh God, and many times we listen to the voice of ourselves. So Father, I just pray and I just thank you also that in thee, Lord, as we trust in you, that we can have victory, we can have joy and peace, you know, each day of our lives. And I know, God, that the devil is everywhere. And I pray for our brethren here in this church. Oh God, just give them, just fill them, Lord, with your spirit every day, that they can walk in the spirit, God, that they can live their life for you each day. Oh God, we just thank you, God, for all you have done. We just thank you, God, for the victory too we have experienced as we trust in thee. So continue to bless this church, this service this morning, God, and may your name be lifted up this day. So we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, may God bless you and